What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Tuesday, April 9th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210 is the phone number. On social media, the radio station at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Mary Walter in for Dawn today. Greg Stocker is the chairman of the board. Phil Almquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Action-packed Tuesday morning. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Or good morning, Mary.
Morning. Good Mary,
I don't know
morning.
Where you were going.
Good Mary morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm fine. How are you? A little tired this morning, though, gotta say. Oofa.
Tuesdays. I'm telling you, Tuesdays are the worst. Mondays is fine.
Yes.
Anybody can power through a Monday. Tuesdays are the day where you're like, nope, can't do this.
Well, the high of a new work week wears off, and then you realize, oh, hell, we got four more to go.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Tuesday's the worst day of the week because it has no identity, people.
Thank
There's
you.
No identity to Tuesday.
Thank you. I think we should boycott Tuesdays.
What are Tuesday's pronouns? Speaking of identities.
Yeah.
Too early and sucks.
Yes.
Well, you're probably a little tired because you were reading the cut sheet at midnight last night, Mary.
I didn't get to bed till 1 a.m.
Who does that?
Oh, my Lord.
Who reads a cut sheet at midnight?
Well, somebody who has two shows to do today and has to put an entire show together today and had to go to the accountants last night.
Oh, sorry.
For taxes. So, you know, yeah.
We appreciate you being here.
Yes. It is good to have you back again. We got a lot of good things to get to this morning. Trump and his official statement and position on abortion yesterday came out. We will get to that. He also nukes Lindsey Graham, which is fascinating because usually it's Lindsey Graham who wants to bomb everybody else, but Trump decided to bomb Lindsey Graham. So we'll get to that. He also went after Mike Pence. I should say Pence actually went after Trump. We'll get to that as well. Also, a victory for female college athletes. Joe Rogan says that Elon Musk saved humanity with the purchase of X. And also a judgment poll.
Can we stop with this? Can we stop
I know.
With this? I'm sorry.
I'm getting to the point where it's like...
Can we stop with this? He saved humanity.
I know.
Oh, God.
I know. He invented oxygen. He created water. Elon Musk is the greatest thing to ever happen.
What's
I know.
So we can tweet stuff out and a bunch of porn bots can like it. I mean, come on.
I mean,
jealousy is such an ugly emotion,
no,
gentlemen.
The amount of people on the right that think Elon Musk is some champion of your belief system and party is so absurd.
It's true.
Like, he's
I
a free speech
you.
Guy.
Yes.
That's great. RFK is anti-vax. That's great. But they're not, they're lefties.
They're not conservatives.
They're not.
Yeah, they're not.
And it's fine.
Okay.
And that's fine. And
that's
fine.
Okay.
I know.
If they're not conservative, as long as they give me free speech, yay.
Yep. Which they did. Which we
did. Who cares?
Again.
Yeah.
We'll get to that coming up. Also, Gen Z and millennials are upset about their costs for streaming. Oh, I remember you. It was a couple of years ago. Cord cutting. Cord cutting is going to save the day.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Next thing you know, you have 7 streaming services, and it's the same as your damn cable bill. We'll get to that this morning. The cut sheet's going to be loaded as well. But yesterday was the big day.
Ah, yes, the big day.
The big day. The eclipse comes, I guess technically rolling through around 3:23 p.m. I got to tell you, I don't know how you guys feel about this. But I got up, and I know none of you guys are taking naps, but I got up from the nap around 1:45. I had lunch. I got some prep work done. I was done prepping for the show at like 3:15-ish. I legitimately made sure my blinds were opened up. I opened up my patio door. I'm waiting for the eclipse. I'm waiting to see what happens. And it's starting to get a little cloudy and it was a little foggy out. You know what that was like yesterday? Unless you actually got to witness it in a locale where the moon went directly in front of the sun. It was like being a Philly sports fan, where you waited for four decades and you were hoping for a Super Bowl or a World Series. And what happened in the most Philadelphia fashion?
Yeah.
They left you wanting more.
Yep.
They left you out there at the altar and you're just sitting there holding your you-know-what and you're like, I was expecting better.
Yep.
Yes.
That's how I felt yesterday.
Yeah, it was a big dud. It was a big dud.
Negative how women feel. Oh, most dates.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
I'm so excited. I shaved my legs for this. You get home, you're like, I shaved my legs for this.
Yep. It was a hot date. You've been anticipating it, and it didn't live up to the hype.
Listen, I got to tell you, I long for the old days. Can you imagine how exciting an eclipse was back in the day when you didn't know it was coming?
Yes.
And you didn't know what it was.
Yep.
And you literally thought like that moon was eating the sun and we're all going to die and people are running around and the dogs are going crazy. Like that must have been really exciting.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, if I didn't know there was an eclipse happening, I wouldn't have thought anything was different.
Correct. Same here.
The best part of the eclipse yesterday was the 24-hour cable news stations losing their effing minds over it.
And
dressing up as the sun. Brianna Keeler on CNN dressed up like the sun. What is happening? What is happening to our country?
It was such a big deal that I don't know how the Five... I watch the Five every day. They didn't even talk about Trump and abortion. They led with the eclipse, and then they totally omitted what I thought was the biggest news story of the day. And it's like for one day, you're like, I don't know, I guess in a way everybody kind of came together as Americans and put politics aside, but like, you know,
I'm a big believer in we need more communal events. I think that we're too isolated. I think we need to get out, see things, talk to people. I'm all for that.
Right.
But boy, was yesterday a big giant crap sandwich.
And my daughters were so disappointed. They got the stupid glasses from Amazon.
Yeah.
They were with their grandparents and my wife yesterday. They get out of school early, and they're like, I didn't really see anything.
Exactly.
I tell you.
Exactly. It was cloudy here in Philly, in the Philly burbs, New Jersey.
Yeah.
It wasn't too cloudy here yet.
Yeah.
We kind of, because I'm on the shore, so it didn't really start until towards the end of it. You could see it if you had the glasses, like when you looked up with the glasses on, or however you were viewing it, burning your retinas, whatever you chose to do.
Yep.
But if you just looked at the sun and did burn your retinas, you saw nothing. It was a total waste of vision loss. But if you had the glasses or however special way you were viewing it, then you could see it.
Yeah.
But other than that, like if I were out taking a walk or what, and I didn't know what was happening, I would never have known there was an eclipse.
Did you know that yesterday somebody actually claimed that the eclipse is racist?
Well, of course they did.
Mary. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is about attention. Go ahead. I can't wait.
There's a story on Yahoo. Eclipse fever is gripping black Texans. Let me just give you a highlight of this, and you can see the story on YouTube right now if you're watching us on YouTube. The word eclipse comes from a Greek meaning abandonment. And while visitors in Texas are expected to open their wallets to the tune of $1.4 billion, preparations for the event have disrupted life for many black folks living in the state's largest metro areas of Austin, Dallas, and Houston. By the way, Neil deGrasse Tyson came out and he held an eclipse watch party in Dallas.
Oh, boy.
And the main reason he did it was because just 3% of the workforce in the fields of astrophysics and astronomy is black. So if you've ever wondered if eclipses are racist,
they are,
and they're not inclusive and not diverse enough, Houston, Dallas, and Austin highlighted it for you yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
Wow. This is why we can't have anything nice.
Nothing.
Because everything turns into stuff that everything turns into racism.
Right.
and how people are pressed. And
no matter what the issue is, no matter what the topic, what the day, what we're celebrating, if there's a race angle that can be written by it, make no mistake about it, there's a writer out there working for a mainstream publication just dying to crank out 750 words.
We're doomed. Dying. We're doomed. I'm sorry.
No, we're not. Think of how low the bar is. These people could be smarter than the rest of us.
Maybe they're...
Yes.
So you're saying they're onto something.
Right? The whole lazy girl job thing?
Yeah.
All they have to do is like, ooh, Eclipse said it. I'll write about that. How is it racist?
Yep.
And down the rabbit hole they go, and the next thing you know, cha-ching, they got their paycheck.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, that was the Eclipse from yesterday. If you have any firsthand viewing experiences you'd like to share, let us know.
Please.
855-839-1210. How was your cloudy day?
Yes.
All right. 610, let's get to a Tuesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take this morning, Trump and abortion, and it's brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. Ever since the Supreme Court of the United States overturned Roe v. Wade and kicked it back down to each individual state and made it a state rights issue, the GOP, we know, has whiffed in elections. If the border is the albatross of the Democrats, the same can be said and has been said about abortion being the albatross of Republicans. Democrats have a deep divide right now in the Middle East, as the more moderate Democrats have shown to be pro-Israel, while the progressive squad Dems have been far more pro-Gaza. But the same can be said with Republicans and the battle of pro-lifers and those who are pro-choice. And the GOP is definitely divided on this issue. And we know abortion will be on the ballot this fall for the 2024 general election. To date, three states have put abortion on the ballot. That would be New York, Maryland, and most recently, Florida. And currently, eight other states have a proposal to put abortion on the ballot. Those states would include Arizona, Arkansas, Colorado, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, and South Dakota. And yesterday, Donald Trump made his position known. The New York Post with a headline that reads, Trump promises abortion rights will be decided by states if reelected, sidestepping national ban. Here is the official position that Donald Trump has taken. Take a listen and watch part one.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state.
Trump is taking credit for what pro-lifers wanted, but also what could cost Trump and the GOP for years to come, election after election. Here's Trump breaking down the differences of the issue on a state-by-state basis. Listen and watch part two.
States will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people.
Interesting how Trump had framed that, considering a lot of Republicans are more open these days to being pro-choice. And here's Trump praising the conservative justices of the Supreme Court of the United States. Listen and watch part three.
The six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. was really something.
So Trump is propping up those judges, but if Trump loses this fall, you can definitely blame Roberts, Thomas, Alito, Kavanaugh, Coney Barrett, and Gorsuch. It'll be a tough pill to swallow if Republicans lose to the worst version of the Democratic Party we have seen in our lifetimes. Considering Republican policies on the border, economy, energy, inflation, and crime are proven to work better than these failed progressive policies. But also, worth noting, according to Pew Research, nearly three-quarters of Americans rate strengthening the economy as a top priority. Over the course of Biden's presidency, the share of Americans citing immigration as a top priority has increased 18 points from 39% to 57%. And you may have appeased the pro-lifers and the conservatives within the GOP, but there's also many MAGA voters out there that aren't super conservative. They're just America first. They want a good economy, a strong border, law and order, and no wars. And we certainly know that the moderates, or the rhinos, are far more pro-choice. And we have the data to prove it. But first, a final clip of Trump as he channels his inner Ronald Reagan. Listen and watch this.
Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
And I mentioned where Republicans are on the issue of abortion and how divided the GOP is on this losing issue over the last 22 months. And here are some of those facts. This was Sandra Smith on Fox News during the New Hampshire primary back in late January. Listen and watch this.
One other key finding I want to show you guys, obviously on the views on abortion from voters in New Hampshire. Of those voters who say that they want to see abortion legal most of the time, 54%, this is what we saw play out for the candidates. 54% put their support behind Nikki Haley, 40% for Donald Trump. If they wanted to see abortion illegal at least some of the time, look at that, almost three-quarters of that vote went to Donald Trump. So these are some of the big issues on the ground there. And clearly, it shows that Donald Trump is running and campaigning on these winning issues. It was in Iowa and in this case, in New Hampshire. Brett, Martha, back to you.
And there are many arguments to be made on the topic of abortion and the battle between pro-choice and pro-life. You can argue all of the following. Trump is to blame if the Republicans lose. SCOTUS is to blame if the Republicans lose. You can argue Trump was smart yesterday not to double down on abortion. You can also argue Trump was smart to take it off the table and leave it as is. You can also argue that Trump taking it off the table is merely his words when we couldn't see it on the ballots in 11 different states this fall. So it's actually really still on the table according to those states. You could also argue Trump dodged this in some fashion. You can also argue Trump might be more pro-choice, but has to appease his conservative base. Or you could also argue that Trump hasn't fought hard enough for pro-lifers after his speech yesterday. Or you could just argue that, you know what, Trump wants to win in an election. Sorry, Lindsey Graham. But it's all up for debate. But one thing that is indisputable, cold, hard fact of life has been this. Since June of 2022, the GOP has swung and missed in elections, short of House Republicans taking back the Congress in narrow fashion. And another fact, the GOP is vastly superior to the left on the top issues that matter to Americans every day at the kitchen table. But we also know that single, career-oriented, young female voters are the worst nightmare for Trump, conservative men, GOP, and those in the 35 to 64 demographic. And they haven't forgotten about Roe v. Wade. Trust me on that. And they will remind you of that this fall. I'd love to be wrong, but I'm obligated to tell you things you might not want to hear, but need to hear. That's why this show has been so successful. And that's why we call this The Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, you can certainly do so. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the Kale & Company comment community on YouTube. The Big Take brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. Explore the most desirable luxury SUVs with the Defender, Discovery, and Range Rover models. Schedule a test drive today at Land Rover Willow Grove, Westchester, Harrisburg, or Wilmington to find yours today. We'll get into this when we come back. Nick Kale, Mary Walter, in for Dawn Stenzel and Greg Stocker. It's Kale and Company, Tuesday morning, the best day of the week, here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Tuesday morning, hopefully all of you off to a great start to your work day. Nick Kale, Mary Walter is in for Dawn Stenzel today. Greg Stocker, Phil, and Anthony here as well. 855-839-1210. Get us on Twitter at 1210WPHT. Stream us on the free Odyssey app and watch us live on YouTube. What a day it was yesterday. You know, I was, you know, just going to assume that when Donald Trump comes out and speaks about anything, much less abortion, you are going to see a litany of reaction in varying degrees with different reactions, takeaways, and viewpoints. But Mary, I think you can praise Trump, you can criticize him based on yesterday's official position, but the one thing you can't do is you can't put the genie back in the bottle, and you can't undo Roe v. Wade from 2 years ago. Well, I guess technically you could, but it is what it is right now. I'm curious your thoughts and observations from yesterday, because it ran the spectrum yesterday on the GOP side of things, with some saying that he kind of sidestepped it, others praised him, others ripped him. What were your observations on his position?
Oh boy, how much time you got?
We've got exactly. Actually, we have 16 minutes and 56 seconds.
Okay.
Yep.
So both the left and the right want their view imposed by the federal government, by the Supreme Court, right?
Sure.
They want everything.
Yeah.
They want my whole view, and the other side wants their whole view, with nothing in between.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, this is how our constitutional republic works. This is not outlined in the Constitution as a federal right, something that the government is supposed to ensure to the people. So it goes back to the states, which is exactly what this Dobbs decision did. And as I said yesterday, even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that the court overstepped in what they did in the Roe decision, that it should have been kicked back to the state. And she knew this was going to be a problem, and she knew we would eventually get to this point. So everybody should be happy. Both sides technically should be happy. The left screaming about preserving democracy should be happy. We're literally doing what we're supposed to be doing in this country. We're giving the people the right to vote on this, which is what the left wants. The right keeps screaming, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. Well, that's how this works. So as far as the Dobbs decision, everybody should be happy with that. But they're not happy because they didn't get their will imposed on the people from on high, which is what both sides, the far left and the far right, want.
You know, I've got so many stories here. I've got like five or six on reactions from different groups, pro-life, pro-choice. It's just fascinating because I think, and you say, well, you know, it's not so much to the left, it's not so much to the right, it's kind of in the middle, it's the gray area. But one thing I really do believe is that the left, I think in a lot of regards, even though there are so many of those on the left ticked off about this, especially females in red states that might have to go elsewhere for an abortion. Tennessee's got a very strict law with that because, as we mentioned, you know, you kick it back to the states, and if it's a state-by-state issue, blue versus red, Democrat versus Republican, liberal versus conservative. I think there's a diabolical side to the Democrats where they're like, you know, behind closed doors, they're kind of laughing and giggling because they see that this is going to work against Republicans in elections.
100%.
And they also see that the Republican Party, and we gave you some of the polling numbers last week, late in the week, there's a divide within the Republican Party specifically on who's pro-life and who's pro-choice. Yep. And it just seems like they know that, hey, they can always just kind of dangle that. No matter how bad their policies are, they're like, we've got the ace up our sleeve.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. What they can do is, you know, they just throw the meat in the middle and the Republicans fight over it. Because to your point, they can't run on what Joe Biden's done.
Mm-hmm.
But they can run on abortion to divide the Republicans. And this is one of my problems with the Republican Party. The Democrats understand that a half a loaf of bread is better than no bread. Republicans want the whole loaf.
Right.
And if they don't get the whole loaf, they'll walk away with nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And fight among themselves.
Yep.
So you're not going to get a whole loaf of bread on this. You're not going to get abortion banned. But what if you're smart and you're really upset about this, then get your butt out there and get involved on a state level to get what you want.
Yep.
Stop complaining about Trump. Stop yelling about Trump. Well, Trump should have done this. No. He did the right thing here. This is how our system works. And it is time for both sides to realize that according to the latest poll I could find from Gallup,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to support about abortion rights by trimester, first of all, majority of Americans agree with an exception for rape, for incest, and the health of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's the majority of Americans. That may not be you personally.
Right.
But, though, you know, American law just doesn't revolve around you.
Yeah, correct, correct.
Whether you like it or not, sometimes you got to get half a loaf instead of the whole loaf.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to abortion rights by trimester, when they asked about a legality of abortion at different stages of pregnancy, 69% of Americans said it should be legal in the first trimester. You may not be part of that 69%. But the vast majority of Americans are, right. And that's the way it works.
7 out of 10, yep.
Second trimester, it drops to 37%. And third trimester, it drops to 22%. Majorities that oppose abortion in the second trimester, opposing 55%. 70% of Americans oppose abortion in third trimesters. So what that means is that when this goes to the states and you work super hard for your side and they work super hard for their side, we're probably going to wind up with abortion legal in the first trimester, so 12 weeks, 12 to 15 weeks, which is pretty much most countries, you know, that's how it is across Europe, etc. Again, you may not like it, but it's better than no loaf at all,
mm-hmm.
and with exceptions for rape, incest, and the health of the mother.
Coming
that's up, pretty much where we're going.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You laid it out perfectly. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, I've got two very interesting stories. One on Trump's abortion gamble and how it might backfire. That's from Axios. But then also on the other side of the support ledger, you have Politico on an anti-abortion group that is still rallying behind Donald mm-hmm. Trump. So I thought that was very fascinating. None of which I thought was any bigger or more compelling to talk about on the radio than what happened yesterday with Trump and with Lindsey Graham. This was phenomenal. So as we know, Donald Trump came out. He officially put his position out there on abortion. And Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, did not like it and expressed his disagreement with Trump on abortion. On Monday morning, let me give you, this is directly from Mediaite.com. Trump announced that he was not in favor of any national abortion restrictions. Subsequently, Graham, who has sponsored a bill in Congress to ban abortion after 15 weeks, issued a statement rebuking Trump, and he said the following: "The state's rights only rationale today runs contrary to an American consensus that would limit late-term abortions and will age about as well as the Dred Scott decision. The science is clear. A child at 15 weeks is well-developed and is capable of feeling pain," declared Graham. "I will, quote, continue to advocate that there should be a national minimum standard limiting abortion at 15 weeks because the child is capable of feeling pain, with exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother." Well, guess what, Lindsay? Most people disagree with you wanting to bomb everything in sight, and most people are actually disagreeing with you again. Trump comes out and absolutely roasts Lindsey Graham. He says, Senator Lindsey Graham is doing a great disservice to the Republican Party and to our country. At first, he wanted no abortions under any circumstances. Then he was up to 6 weeks when you're allowed abortion. Now he's up to 15 weeks where you're allowed abortion. But what he doesn't understand, or perhaps he does, is the radical left Democrats who are destroying our country will never approve anything that he or the Republicans want. They love this issue, which is what I had just said a few minutes ago to you. And they want to keep it going for as long as Republicans will allow them to do so. Terminating Roe v. Wade was, according to all legal scholars, a great event. But sometimes with great events come difficulties. Many good Republicans lost elections because of this issue, and people like Lindsey Graham that are unrelenting are handing Democrats their dream of the House, Senate, and perhaps even the presidency. Basically, and this is, I think, what he is really iterating, and this is what I've been saying.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't move away from some of your hard stances on this, you're going to continue to lose. And you still might lose regardless.
The problem is, Nick, you just hit the nail right on the head there, is the problem is that people are so ingrained in this that Trump can come out and say literally anything, and it's not going to move the needle. And what's happening, and Mary said this very eloquently, is that Republicans are kind of just eating their own with this. They have this inner war fighting between the, you know, the very, very pro-life wing, and then the wing that wants to win elections. And they're just doing damage to themselves by doing this. There's no winning issue on this because everybody's so dug in. So you just have to hope that the economy, the border, all of that stuff trumps abortion in people's minds, because it's, you know, you might move a little bit, but it's not going to be anything of substance.
He goes on to say further in his post, Lindsey, Marjorie, and others fought for years unsuccessfully until I came along and got the job done. Then they were gone, never to be heard from again until now, concluded Trump. We cannot let our country suffer any further damage by losing elections on an issue that should have always been decided by the states and now will be. And I think, really, Mary, that's the million-dollar question that every Republican that is far more further right on the pro-life stance, you just have to ask yourself this question. And you're not wrong by saying you're pro-life. God bless you. Knock yourself out. But what I'm saying is, is this an issue that you are willing to die on the hill for? No pun intended. I mean, are you going down with the ship? You could have all the winning issues, the better policies, but still lose because of this one specific thing. How much does that mean to you? If you're willing to lose elections over it, God bless you, your morals, whatever, that's fine. But that is kind of the reality of the situation here. And I think some people get in their feelings over that. But I think if you just look at it and just remove your personal view, pro-choice, pro-life, this with exceptions, that, this, that, the other thing, how do you think, if you had to wager an amount of money on that matters to you, on who's going to win the election based on these issues, there's no doubt the proof has been in the pudding for 22 months. The Republicans have struggled since this happened with Roe v. Wade.
Yeah. And I know people like this. I know people, I'm not going to vote for Trump. They're outraged at the decision and everything. Like, stop for a hot second. Again, this is a learning curve for Republicans, and Trump is, I agree with him on this, and it's not because I love Trump or I'm in a cult or blah, 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 blah. He's looking at it logically. You just said, because you're in your feelings. You should vote on policy, not personality, and too many people vote based on emotion. You can't do that when you're talking about the way and the direction of the country. And if you truly believe that abortion is wrong, as many people do, as many of us do, I get it, but isn't it better to have a 15-week ban or a 12-week ban than to have no ban at all? Yeah. Isn't that better than no ban at all?
And I think the reality is, too, you're not going to absolutely endorse and love every single thing a politician says where they stand on an issue that you vote for. I mean, you might be able to sit there and say, okay, here's the top 20 issues. I'm with Trump on 17 out of 20 issues. Three of them I don't necessarily agree with or I don't have the same passion for. And you know what? That's okay. All I care about is you going out and voting for him because I can't accept four more years of the alternative. That's my position.
Amen. Amen.
My email is blowing up right now. Fulton Jack writes to us and says, so you guys are going to completely ignore the humanity of the children? If you were a Whig in the 1850s, would you say that slavery was a losing issue so that we have to abandon the enslaved black people?
No, I'm not ignoring anything. In fact, I actually wanted to rip the five on Fox News yesterday for not talking about that story. I think it was a cowardly move by them. They had 5-6 hours to have a segment on that show, and they didn't do it yesterday. I think that's incredibly weak. If anything, we've spent the first 30 minutes of the show on this issue, so we're not ignoring anything. But the reality is, I want to win elections, and I'm willing to stand down, so to speak, on a certain issue or two if it means defeating Joe Biden. I live in reality. I've learned for a long time I'm not going to get every single thing that I want or like. I mean, trust me, if you work in radio, you realize that you don't get every single thing you like. You might like the actual show and the boss and the platform, but you don't agree with every single thing. That's just life, and some people can't handle that.
Listen, I don't agree with everything my husband does, and sometimes he does things that make me question my choices in life, like why I married him, right?
Yes.
Sometimes I do things that I later on stop and go, what the hell were you thinking at the time that you did that? It was a dumb thing to do. But, you know, when you're fighting a war, sometimes you retreat from the battlefield and you take the L on that battle, but you do it in order to win the war.
Yes, you might lose a battle or two along the way, but you ultimately, after 2 years of conflict, you end up winning the war. Now, one thing I do want to point out, and this is a follow-up from last week. Last week on the show, we cited a Gallup poll ranking the top issues, and abortion was not in the top 15. In fact, it didn't make the list. And I don't know if it was Gallup that asked certain questions on certain issues, or if people just had a kind of a blank canvas and abortion was not brought up, but we were like, wait a second. We know that this is a major issue working against Republicans, yet it didn't show up in the Gallup poll of top issues. Now, again, yesterday, Pew Research puts out a survey with all of the top priorities for Republicans and also looking at it from the Democrat side as well. And the one caveat I said last week and the question I had was, I wonder if they're putting abortion under the healthcare umbrella. And healthcare was about 3%. The top issue was the border and immigration at 28%. And then all the way down was healthcare at 3%. And we thought that maybe just Gallup did a bad poll and omitted abortion for some reason, whether it was subconsciously or intentionally. So Pew Research puts out their top issues: strengthening the economy, defending against terrorism, reducing money in politics, healthcare costs, improving education, crime, immigration/the border, availability of illegal drugs, strengthening the military, dealing with global trade, job situations, energy, blah, 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 blah. I say all that because I go down this list and it looks like about almost 18 to 20 issues, and abortion is not coming up on this survey as well. Now, Rich Zeoli, who you hear in the afternoons, thinks that abortion is an issue, but not nearly one of the top issues. I told you that story a few weeks ago when we were having a conversation, Rich and I, that he said, you know, he talked about on his show, so I could, you know, go with it and run with it on the air. And I disagree. I think abortion is a bigger issue than Rich is making it out to be. But now this is the second set of data. We've had the Gallup poll and Pew Research where abortion is not coming up. I mean, again, we have to stay consistent with, hey, polls are polls. You take them with a grain of salt. But I'm starting to wonder, or I shouldn't say that, wonder. I'm starting to hope that maybe this won't be as big of a giant albatross around our neck as I've been kind of portraying it to be, Mary.
Democrats with abortion are like cats with the that little pointer light that you get, right?
Like me with a ribeye.
Yes, but it's the Republicans who keep chasing that little light, and they know that, and it's worked for them in the past, and it's the same playbook over and over and over again. So you think the Republicans would get smart about this? Republicans are horrific with messaging, as we know. They should be out there right now explaining. They should have explained what Dobbs meant and the opportunities that Dobbs gave to everybody and how everybody should be happy with the Dobbs decision. But Republicans didn't get out there and do that because they're Republicans.
Right.
So they're lazy. I don't know what it is.
Well, it's easier to tweet about it and complain about it than get changed,
I guess.
Right?
They should get out there and educate people about it. Make people realize this is your opportunity. You don't like it, go out there and change it. That's what our country's about.
Yep.
Government comes from the people up.
Yep. 855-839-1210. See, we had plenty of time to get that in, Mary. I told you, 16 minutes, 57 seconds. We knocked it all out. We covered all the
issues. We agree. So I think it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
Well, if you disagree, 855-839-1210 at 1210 WPHT on social media or fire away in the comment section on YouTube. We'll come back, put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour and a major victory for biological females. That's next as we continue. Mary's in for Dawn. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The sports calendar is loaded, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Sports Casino, is making it even more exciting to get in on the action. Looking ahead to tonight, your Philadelphia 76ers play the awful Detroit Pistons. Philadelphia minus 15.5 on tonight's game. Joel Embiid to score the first basket is at plus 330. Tyrese Maxey at plus 550. To score 20 plus points, Joel Embiid is at minus 1,300. Kate Cunningham from Detroit is at minus 280. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. So you can bet on the Sixers tonight, Phillies, all kinds of action. It's $200 you can use to bet on anything from Major League Baseball to the NBA to the NHL. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg is what you need to go to right now. Sign up. Place your first $5 bet and you can get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD, and is America's number one sportsbook, 21 and over. President PA, first online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company rolling on as we continue Tuesday morning. Nick Kale, Mary Walter, in for Dawn Stenzel, and Greg Stocker, 855-839-1210. Good victory yesterday. You know, we talked a little bit on yesterday's show with Mary about the big issue over the weekend with South Carolina women's basketball coach Dawn Staley saying that she is okay with and would endorse biological men coming into women's athletics and competing in female sports. But yesterday, so that was under the NCAA, which is, you know, your major colleges. But yesterday, a big victory as transgender women are officially banned from competing in NAIA events as females. The NCAA, which is the rival and the big boy of college athletics, votes to only include students whose biological sex is female. And yesterday, the NAIA, say that 10 times fast, the National Convention and the Council of Presidents announced the decision on Monday that starting August 1st, only students whose biological sex is female can compete in women's NAIA sports. The vote was a unanimous 20-0, which I think is a huge victory, Mary, although it's not nearly as recognized or as powerful as the NCAA. The NAIA does have 250 colleges and schools across the country, and their athletes receive about $1.3 billion in scholarship money. So I think it's a big victory, and I think it really highlights the way we almost unanimously agree on this issue. 20-0. Polls say 80, 90% of Americans think men have no right being in female sports, yet it's that vocal minority. And this now puts the pressure on the NCAA to follow suit of the lower level, so to speak. Oh, no, she's not there. We've lost Mary. Do we have
dun, dun,
dun. Oh, no. Yesterday she couldn't hear us, and now we can't hear her. Oh boy!
There we go.
Hold on. Is that better?
She, yes. There you go.
Sorry, that was me. That's totally my fault. I had my little heater on here because I'm in the attic, as we all know.
Yeah.
And there's no heat up here,
so, man.
I turned my microphone down so you wouldn't hear the blowing fan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. So
my
you
bad.
Were saying?
That was my bad. That's all right. I'm so glad we're talking about this, because when I saw this story, I have questions for you, and I know you know so much more about sports than I do. Okay. So I want to defer to your expertise.
Okay.
So can teams that are part of this NIAI, which I never heard of, can they now, or teams that are part of the NCAA, switch to go to that league?
Oh, yeah. You could always transfer and leave, like, whatever college you're at that's, like, at, you know, the NCAA. I to be honest, I couldn't name an NAIA school, but let's say you were at Villanova, right? And you wanted to go and compete at one of these schools that are in the NAIA conference or category, right, so to speak, you could absolutely do so.
No, but can the school change?
Oh, yeah. The schools can always downgrade if they can't compete at a high level, or if they've competed at this level and they've exceeded all expectations and they've become great, they can apply for admission, so to speak, to be a part of the NCAA and move up in the ranks if they want.
Right, but what I'm talking about is, like, if they say, well, you know, we're done with this. We don't want our team, our women, to be beat up by a bunch of guys in sports. So they may be a good school. They may be a good team. Like, I get, like, the NCAA is the varsity.
Yeah. Correct.
And the NAIA is like the JV. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think there was a point in time when the NIT was a bigger draw than the NCAAs in mm-hmm. college basketball,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So if enough teams get together and say, well, we're going to threaten to leave the NCAA and go over to the whatever that other one is.
Yeah, I think you could see that.
Right. That's my question. Can that happen? And that can be used as, like, leverage against the NCAA
but it's gonna take
to get
courage.
This changed.
It's going to take a lot of people to start speaking up and speaking out about the. At this rate, it's never going to happen. Because most people are tight-lipped, or they echo the views of, oh, yeah, biological men, sure, come on into females' locker rooms. I'm fine with that. They take the Dawn Staley approach, which to this day, I still don't know that Dawn Staley really believes that, but she said it.
Right, but to your point of courage, but yesterday the big take was about, you know, the waning of DEI and mm-hmm. all of this stuff.
Yep.
So then we see this story come out yesterday. It's like they're listening to you. And you see this story come out then yesterday. It was just like, wow, cha-ching, here's yet another step in that direction of people coming to their senses and saying, okay, enough is enough. And finally having the courage to say, no, we're not going to do it.
Yep. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, kick off hour number two on the other side with some free speech conversation. Joe Rogan, who I like, says Elon Musk, who I like, saved humanity. Can we please stop the nonsense already? Kale and Company, hour two is next on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.